Let us read together today's scripture from Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you would be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you such a long time, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you may ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage that you're giving us this evening, that we can fully rely on Jesus, our Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, for this encouragement, and we ask that you would work powerfully with your Holy Spirit in our hearts this evening, that our hearts would be turned to you, and we would change our attitude towards life, towards ourselves, towards you, towards our dedication to you, and that we would be empowered by your Holy Spirit to walk your ways. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are moments in life when everything familiar begins to shake. A diagnosis changes everything. I remember when our son, 40 days old son, was diagnosed with heart disease and was given only 6 months to live if no operation. And we went to the doctor and they told us they can't help us because they don't have anything. That diagnosis changed a lot in my heart, but I actually never raised the question, Lord, why? Why I'm in this situation? A diagnosis changes everything. A funeral leaves an empty chair at the table, or when a child walks away from faith, or a nation becomes unstable, we all can feel it. A church faces uncertainty. A believer wrestles with fear, doubt, and guilt. And in those moments, the deepest question of the human heart raises to the surface. Can I truly trust Jesus Christ? Is Christ really who he said he was? When he said, I am, ego eimi. The Greek word I am, or it is I, ego eimi, occurs 24 times in Gospel of John, serving as a profound declaration of Jesus' divinity and self-identification. While 17 instances are followed by metaphors, like I am bread of life, 7 are absolute uses, notably evoking God's covenantal name, Yahweh, given in Exodus 3:14. So John 14 is spoken in such a moment. The disciples are troubled, deeply troubled. Jesus has told them that he is leaving. Soon Peter will deny him. Judas has already betrayed him. The shadow of the cross hangs over the room like a storm cloud. And yet Jesus begins not with rebuke, but with comfort. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. The one about to be crucified is comforting others. That's a true shepherd's heart. The shepherd steadies trembling sheep while walking towards his own sufferings. Tonight we ask this question. So what do we know about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life? And from this passage we'll learn at least 4 glorious things, 4 glorious truths. First, Jesus is our comfort in troubled hearts. Second, Jesus is the only way to the Father. Third, Jesus perfectly reveals God. And finally, fourth, Jesus continues his work through his church. So first point, Jesus is our comfort in troubled hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus does not deny that trouble exists. Christianity is not denial of troubles or problems. Christ never teaches us to pretend sufferings is not real. On the contrary, he told his disciples, since I am hated and I am persecuted, you will be too. So he prepared them for such times. The disciples had every reason to be troubled. Their world was collapsing. For 3 years they had followed Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah, but now he speaks of departure, betrayal, suffering, and death. And yet Jesus says, believe in God, also believe in me. Everybody must notice something astonishing here. Jesus places faith in himself alongside faith in God. No prophet could speak this way ever. No angel speaks this way. No rabbi could speak this way. That's why it proves one more time that Jesus was who he really claimed to be, God incarnate. Christ is claiming equality with the Father. That is why every Sunday we confess that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, the eternal Son who took on flesh for our salvation. The disciples are not told to believe about Jesus. They're told to believe in Jesus, in him. Our faith should not be simply in agreement with facts. Faith is resting your soul upon Christ. And Christ is trustworthy. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. What tenderness there is in this world, in these words. Jesus speaks not merely of heaven, but of home. Not a cold religion system. Not escape from judgment, but fellowship with God. The Bible begins with humanity expelled from the garden, from Garden of Eden, because of sin. But through Christ, sinners are brought home again. Notice also he says, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. The ultimate joy of heaven is not golden streets. It is Christ himself. Heaven is heaven because Christ is there. The Puritan Samuel Rutherford once wrote this while suffering exile for the gospel. Oh my Lord Jesus Christ, If I could be in heaven without thee, it would be hell. And if I could be in hell and have thee still, it would be heaven to me. That is the heart of true faith. Not just wanting blessing from Jesus, but wanting Jesus himself. Brings us to my second point. Jesus is the only way to the Father. So Thomas asked this question, as many people do still asking today. Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus answers with one of the most important statements in all the scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is not one path among many. Despite all the beliefs of people of Baha'i, if you maybe you have heard of this faith, Baha'i, I have been studying them to finish my college, before graduation from college, I had to write a paper, and I went and I spent time with these people, very devoted, very dedicated people to their faith, and I've learned about their temples. There are two beautiful temples, the biggest temples, one in New Delhi in India, one in Haifa in Israel, and their temples built with this simple yet profounding image. It has many paths that brings from many different ways, and it comes together in one place, and they declare that this center of all the religion is a religion of Baha'i, because all other religions are good, but they're like expired medicine. You don't need them anymore. But you're welcome to come as a Christian. You're welcome to come and visit that temple. As a Muslim, you're welcome to come. So they say, Jesus, you claim that Jesus is the only way. We tell you it's one of the ways. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus doesn't say, I will show you the way. He says, I am the way. Christ is the way. Humanity naturally believes salvation can be earned. So many people believe in that. People attempt to build ladders to heaven. Religion, morality, good works, philosophy, spiritual experiences. But Scripture declares, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 declares. Sin is not just bad behavior. It is a rebellion against God, against holy God. And because of sin, humanity is spiritually dead and separated from God. But Christ came as a mediator. The Reformers emphasized the truth powerfully, this truth powerfully. Christ alone, solus Christus, not Christ plus works, not Christ plus ceremonies, not Christ plus human merit, Christ alone, only Christ. He lived the righteous life we failed to live. He died the death we deserved. He rose victorious over sin and death. There is no other bridge between God and man. As Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no other one. This message is offensive to modern culture because modern culture worships inclusivity above everything else, above all the truth. But if Jesus truly is God incarnate, then his exclusivity is not arrogance, it is reality. If there is only one cure for deadly disease, it is not hateful to proclaim it. It is loving, actually. And Christ is the truth. Jesus doesn't merely teach truth. He embodies truth in a world full of confusion, shifting morality and deception, Christ stands unchanging. Governments change. Some governments never change. Russian government has been the same way for over 20 years. But some government changes. governments change. Cultures definitely change. Human opinion change, but Christ remains eternally true always. Book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Hebrews 13:8. Pilate once asked, what is truth? And ironically, the truth stood before him that morning, right next to him. Today many people say, leave your own truth. But there is no such thing as your truth or my truth. There's only one truth. And truth belongs to God. And Jesus is the full revelation of that truth. Jesus is the life. Humanity is spiritually dead, as I said. Apart from Christ, we're dead. Religion cannot produce life. Education cannot produce life. Politics cannot produce life. Only Jesus gives life. He gives spiritual life now and eternal life forever. The Reformed faith emphasizes regeneration, that salvation begins not with man choosing God, but with God giving life to dead sinners. As Charles Spurgeon said, you stand before God as if you were Christ, because Christ stood before God as if he were you. As Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones, so humanity lies spiritually lifeless until the Spirit breathes life through Christ. And when Christ saves a sinner, he does not only improve them, he makes them new. Jesus perfectly reveals the Father. So Philip asks, Lord, show us the Father, and it would be enough for us. Jesus responds, he who has seen me has seen the Father. This is one of the clearest declarations of Christ's deity in Scripture. Jesus is not simply a reflection of God. He is God the Son. The invincible God has made himself known. The invisible God has made himself known through Christ. As Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. Want to know the heart of God? Look at Jesus. See how he touches lepers, welcoming sinners, weeping at the Lazarus tomb, washing the disciples' feet, bearing his own cross. That's not a lesser picture of God. This is God revealed. During the Reformation, many people feared God only as a judge. Martin Luther himself trembled before the holiness of God. He fasted, he prayed, he confessed endlessly, yet found no peace. But when he came to understand justification by faith in Christ, everything changed. Luther realized that in Christ he was not meeting an angry tyrant, but a gracious Savior. The cross reveals both the justice and mercy of God. At Calvary, God did not ignore sin. He judged it fully, but he judged it upon his own Son. That is the glory of the gospel. But everything continues. Jesus continues his work through his church. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. What does Jesus mean by greater works? Certainly not greater miracles or power. No one surpasses Christ, ever. The greater works here refer to the spread of the gospel. After Christ's resurrection and ascension, during his earthly ministry, Jesus ministered primarily in Israel, but after Pentecost, the gospel spread to the nations, to the goyim, as the Jewish people would say. Millions have come to faith through the proclamation of Christ crucified and risen. Tonight we are evidence of that thing, of that promise. 2,000 years later, across languages and nations, Christ is still gathering his people. The church is not sustained by human wisdom. It is sustained by Christ himself. So, what do we know about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life? We know that he comforts troubled sinners. You may carry fears today unknown to others. And Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Not because life is easy, but because he reigns. He alone reconciles us to God, not our works, not any religion, not heritage, only Christ. If you have never truly trusted him, come to him today in repentance and faith. He reveals the Father perfectly. If you want to know what God is like, look to Christ, crucified and risen. There we see holiness and mercy meeting together. He continues his saving works today. The gospel is not defeated. Christ is still calling sinners, still building his church, still answering prayer, still saving the lost. Christ is reigning. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are merciful, Father. And we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we thank you for the comfort of your word in a world filled with anxiety, confusion, wars, temptations, and death. You have not left us without hope. You have given us Christ. When our hearts are troubled, remind us to believe in him. When fear overwhelms us, teach us to rest in his promises. When guilt accuses us, point us again to the cross where our sins were fully paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we confess that too often we try to find our own way. Like sheep, we wander. We trust our own wisdom, our own strength, and our own righteousness. Yet your word remind us tonight that there's no way to you except through Jesus Christ. Thank you that salvation is not built upon our works, our goodness, or our achievements, but upon Christ alone. Thank you for his perfect obedience, his atoning death, and his glorious resurrection. Lord Jesus, we praise you because you are the truth in the world of deception. Guard your church from false teaching, from compromise, and from spiritual coldness. Give us courage to stand firmly upon your word, even when culture mocks the gospel. And Lord, you are the life. We pray for those among us who are spiritually weary, discouraged, or wandering far away from you. Breathe new life into dry bones. Revive your church. Draw sinners to repentance. Save our children and grandchildren. Strengthen weak believers. Restore those who have fallen. I pray for this congregation as well, for the congregation of Rock of Israel. Make us faithful witnesses in our communities. Help us love one another deeply. Give us compassion for the lost and boldness in proclaiming the gospel. Father, we also pray for those carrying heavy burdens tonight, those suffering illnesses, grief, loneliness, financial hardship, or uncertainty. Remind them that Christ has gone to prepare a place for his people, and that one day all those who trust in him will dwell forever in the Father's house, where there will be no more death, no more tears, and no more pain. Teach us to live with eternity in view. We ask all these things in the strong and wonderful saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen.